Welcome to installment 257 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment number 236, the law of Chevel, the law regulating the financial damages paid as a result of physical damage one has inflicted upon another. The Rambam quotes two verses in Chumash from which we derive these laws. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 18, one segment begins, V'chi yirivun anoshim, when two people argue, V'hika ish esreyehu, and one strikes another, it tells us what some forms of restitution to be paid. Furthermore, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 19, the verse states, Kasher osa kein yeosa lei. Literally, as he did, so will be done to him. Meaning that what will be done to him, his money will be taken to compensate for the damage which he inflicted upon his fellow man. This compensation is known as a knas, a fine. And there are five separate categories of fines, as we discussed in yesterday's mitzvah. The five are nezek, direct compensation, tsar, to compensate for the suffering endured, ripui, for the cure, medical expenses, shevis, to compensate for his lack of work, and beishes, to compensate for his embarrassment. And even though no permanent damage was inflicted, and he has only been embarrassed, nevertheless, financial compensation must be provided. In this case, which involves interpersonal damage, and also in the laws which we mentioned in previous mitzvahs, that an animal has inflicted damage upon another, or an animal has inflicted damage upon a human, these all involve knosses. All of the fines which are inflicted are known as a knas. And the law is, that Rambam tells us, that not in all times can these fines be actually applied. Who is capable of applying a fine? Only a Jewish court which has smicha, that the members have rabbinic ordination tracing back to the times of Moses on Mount Sinai. Should that be lacking, they are not allowed to apply such fines. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that today these fines do not apply in general. However, the Jewish court can force the damaging party to provide an amount sufficient to be mafayis, to soothe, so to speak, to satisfy the needs and the requirements of the person who was damaged. The details of these laws are discussed in the 8th chapter of Baba Kama, the Rambam tells us. Many things which we might not think constitute damage, nevertheless, bring with them culpability according to the Torah law. Such as, let's say a person dropped dishes out of a high window, and underneath was a pillow which would have absorbed the shock of the fall. Along comes another person, and after these dishes have been dropped, he pulls away the cushion, and therefore the dishes break and smash to pieces on the ground. Who is responsible? The Torah tells us that the one that pulled away the cushion is responsible. Even though the one on top threw it out of the window, nevertheless, had he not intervened, the dishes would not have broken. This whole idea opens up a very complex area of Jewish law relating to causation, as we did discuss on one occasion previously regarding the Arba Avos Nezikin, and this is the basis for much of civil law involving torts, civil responsibility for damage which is inflicted. Another form of damage which we might not usually view as such is a person who steals a mitzvah from another. Let's say, for example, a person has slaughtered a bird with shechita, ritual slaughtering as required by Jewish law. The law is that after a bird has been shechted, there is a mitzvah, a commandment to cover the blood. Let's say another person should run, and after it has been slaughtered, he runs to cover the blood. and therefore the mitzvah can no longer be done by the original person. The law is that the person who took away this mitzvah can be fined and has to pay money for stealing away the mitzvah, for taking away the opportunity for the person to satisfy the will of God. Another interesting type of prohibition mentioned in Shulchan Aruch is causing fright to another individual. Hamavis es chaverei. For example, that one person runs behind another one and suddenly screams to frighten him, or jumps out of the dark to frighten him. In such a case, the Shulchan Aruch says that money does not have to be paid. However, the person is chayev b'din shamayim. Although no earthly court can inflict a punishment, a heavenly court can. The Torah also tells us that even after a person has provided for all financial restitution, nevertheless, this does not complete his responsibility. His complete atonement cannot be achieved by mere money alone. He must go to the person who was damaged and ask him mechila, that he should forgive him for having caused the damage. As all cases of interpersonal sins, the sin is not only against God himself, who forbids us from certain negative things that we do to each other or can do to each other, but since the sin was directly against the person, for this God cannot forgive. The person has to forgive, and therefore he must go directly to the person involved and to ask mechila. In the first verse we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir, the Chumash tells us, rape yirape, that you must provide for the medical expenses of the damaged person. And this was the third of the five forms of restitution which we mentioned. Our sages tell us that mikan nitzen reshus l'reif l'rape. From here we see that the Torah gave permission to a physician to offer services. That we might think that since God has complete control over the world, we would be interfering with his providence and control over the world by trying to cure. As is illustrated by a story in Medrash, that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva once walked past a man who was sick. The sick man asked them, "How could I be cured?" And they started instructing him as to what medication to take. However, he had second thought and asked, "Who made me sick?" And they answered, "Hashem." He said, "If so, why are you mixing into his affairs? If he made me sick, you are transgressing his will by trying to make me better." And they answered him back, "What do you do for a living?" And he said, "I'm a farmer." "So who caused your vineyard to grow?" they asked. And he said, "Of course, Hashem." "Why then," they asked, "do you prune the field and work in the field and try hard to make the field produce better?" And he answered, "Of course, unless I treat it properly, it will not produce properly." They then asked, "And you see how foolish your question is. Hashem created people also in such a way that they must be taken care of properly, given the correct foods and the correct medication. Only then can it flourish." However, they answered only after the Chumash told us that the physician has permission to do so. Had the Chumash not said so, we would rely completely on Hashem's direct providence, and not as it expresses itself through the doctor. Which is also, incidentally, the explanation of the statement of the Talmud that even the best of doctors ends up inheriting Gehenim, a portion in hell. How can this be if the doctor does so much good? However, the explanation is that since the doctor sees how much control he has over human life and over health, he begins to think that it is not God who controls the world, but he that controls the world. And therefore he feels as if he's, so to speak, creating the health. And he forgets that God is the one that gave him power to do so. And this is the reason why he is Yerush Gehenim, since he forgets about his own humility and his nullification, and the fact that it is God who gives him the knowledge and the ability to heal. He thinks of himself as a healer, and therefore deserves punishment for this. In the laws of damages, we find a fascinating, important law that the Alter Rebbe states in his Shulchan Aruch, which has important implications for many modern medical questions. Of course we know it is forbidden for one Jew to strike another. But let us say that that Jew asked him or gave him permission to strike him. In that case, are you allowed to hit him? The answer is in Shulchan Aruch, no. And the reason given is a very deep and important one, with far-reaching implications. The Alter Rebbe says, Ki ein la'odim reshus al gufei klal lahakaisei, that a person has no possession and no ownership over his body. As the explanation is given, even in Nigla by the Radbaz and by the Rambam himself later in his legal code, that the body is a possession of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the person does not himself have permission to do whatever he wants with his body. Rather, since God has given it to him, he is required to care for it according to the regulations and laws which have been set forth in the Torah. And therefore, since God has commanded that damage should not be done, he has no permission to ask another one to strike him. And so to the other one has no permission and is not allowed to strike him, because the body does not belong to him, and it is completely irrelevant that he's asking to be hit, because he has no permission to damage someone else's property. He could not hit someone else. So too, he cannot ask to be hit, because the body is also, even his own body, is somebody else's property. It is ultimately the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created him. Therefore, it is also, so to speak, a foreign body to him, and he is not allowed to damage it. This explains the Torah's point of view regarding euthanasia, mercy killings, where we say, how could it be that the person is suffering and the person themselves is asking to have their life shortened? Why do we not shorten their life? The person could be in great pain and causing great expense to the community. Why is it we not put them out of their suffering, especially if they are asking to be put out of their suffering? But we learn from this law, the answer is a clear no. The person, him or herself, has no right to decide when their life will end. It is not something within their ownership, and therefore it is not under their control. The only time that a life can be terminated is when God himself decides to terminate the life. Therefore, we must do all within our power to extend the life, even though the person himself might not be willing. This is also relevant to the idea of experimental surgery, that a person might be willing to undergo some risk in order to eliminate a source of pain. However, in all of these cases, a Rav must be consulted, since a risk implies that you are gambling with somebody else's possession, just as if you would have to ask the person whose life is being risked his permission. So too we must look on our own body, that since it belongs to Hashem, we must ask his position, so to speak. What does he agree to? And what do we see what God agrees to according to the Shulchan Aruch? And ask a Rav, what is the ruling of the code of Jewish law regarding such a case? And so too, applying to the case of donating organs, either for experimentation or for transplant, in all of these cases, again, a Rav must be consulted. The Torah is Hashem Tamima, that the Torah includes within it guidance for all cases, and not only narrowly defined religious quote-unquote cases are within the purview of the expertise of a Rav, but all cases of daily life must be taken to the Rav to determine the Torah's point of view on this matter. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.